So it's the end of the year. We'll come to a little bit of a year in review. I sent out a mailer this week. If you're on our mailing list, you would have received. If you're on our BCC Facebook group, you have seen as well. Some fun stats about our church. And the reason I shared some of these stats was just kind of give you a picture of what's been happening in the church as a whole. As our church has grown, it's been a little bit difficult to keep track of all the different groups. So if you're a teen, you might know what's happening in ID, but you have no idea what's happening with the life groups. If you're in a young adult life group or you're in CNS or CARE, you don't really know what's happening with CORE and the university group. If you're in the congregation, you see this worship team, but you're not really sure how it comes together or where that comes from. And so that kind of number stats was kind of fun to talk about how many people are on the worship team kind of serving, how many people show up in the welcome team, how many people come through our doors roughly each week. Some fun things like that. And the idea is to say, actually, here in the church, there is some exciting stuff happening. We are building slowly and bit by bit, but God is moving and using us in that way. And it's something that you can be a part of, something exciting to be a part of, whether it's working with the children or even something as welcoming or being part of the life groups. And we have roughly around 75 people going to the 8 life groups across the city. And saying, actually, the challenge is saying, well, this past year, I've been really blessed by this church, or God's been really helping me grow. But the next year, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to grow? How do you want me to be challenged? And our theme for next year is actually faith, and I'll be talking about it next week. And we're really trying to set out a plan or a program of what it means for our English congregation to really be growing in faith, what it means to be really developing as disciples, and to really have our heart and our values on the same page with one another. So we're united in heart and spirit and mind and eager to serve one another in that way. And that's what we'll be talking about next week. I thought I would roll this video, and some of you may have seen it at our 25th anniversary service, which is one of the few times we have a large combined service. But I wanted to play this, and this was edited put together by Sam and Ansi. But it's what I see God at work in. So I'm going to roll this video. There's audio on this, so just to give you a heads up. So. I see God at work when
I see God at work when
我看到, 上帝在人的生活当中
I see God at work when 我看到主在我工作在当中
I see God at work when
我看到神的工作在我们教会当中
I see God at work when
I see God at work when you see one generation pass on the baton to the next generation.
I see God at work when people from different experiences and backgrounds and families who have different interests and hobbies, occupations, all these different people all coming together and for the same reason, to worship in the same spirit, to worship the same God. That's amazing. I think that could have only really happened because of God.
主呢，基督是教会的头，纵然我们是落在什么光景里边，神亦都没离开过我们，他的手仍然都扶持着我们。 在教会里面，我们看见神，他的实在，他的工作。
I see God at work when I read through my old devotionals and see all the changes that God has made in my life without me realizing at that point in time.
我看到神的工作在我们教会当中，尤其是在我们FAST的团契里面，我们所有的学生，所有校生的朋友都是来自不同的地方，我们都有不同的背景，我们是不同的。 家庭長大啦，但因為神咧，佢嘅愛啦，帶到我哋所有人咧喺呢一個教會裏面當中，大家認識嘅彼此，大家認識嘅互相嘅扶持。
I see God at work when we get together and worship, and especially in the worship team when we're able to just gather and learn and actually develop one another's skills. I see God working because He's able to just really not only teach us how to learn instruments better or teach us how to play in a band together better, but actually to really align our spirits together and really worship in spirit and in truth.
So you go with Dong Zhou, Tai Lang, go for it. 又有查经班，又有专业学，又有少儿班，感谢赞美主。我以前我唔识书，我在他学到根本我见到我识读经，多谢主耶稣，教我只盲人晓读圣经。 多谢主感谢赞美，就祝地教会继续兴旺，继续带领等党员，每吹灰，多谢赞美主，谢很多东西啦。
I see God at work when I'm in our church and especially in our youth group ID. I think there's something really special about glorifying God and worshiping God alongside people I've known since I was a child.
我看到上帝在人的生活当中，在他们的困境当中，如何这些人是因为他们的信，他们愿意去相信神，他们可以走出来。我们看到上帝有这么多的恩典，我们年年都看到上帝他的恩典在一路一路一路的带领我们，这样一步一步的走过来，然后看到对这个整个教会的这个带领，对弟兄姐妹的成长，他们的带领，对我自己个人的带领，让我们每一个人都可以在主里面，在灵里面越来越成熟。
I see God at work when brothers and sisters care for one another. I see God at work when brothers and sisters forgive one another. I see God at work when we're worshiping together and just really celebrating how good He is. I see God at work when we're raising one another up in discipleship.
我看见神的旨意在人间，神的国度在人间，神的光明在全世界里，让我们弟兄姊妹一起同心合意，越来越像耶稣的样式，结出更好的果子来，颂赞荣耀都归给神。阿们。
Yes. Mama Lau. That's Sam's mom. You can just call her Mama. I think that video I think helps to capture a little bit of a picture of what our three congregations are like in our church, and just kind of different aspects of it. And also to see a little bit more of what this year was. I think that really encapsulated this past year a little bit. There's been a lot of different things that have happened through our church. We've been able to hire some new staff. Our Cantonese pastor has really been able to settle in. And there have been new challenges as well. But there is a growing sense of what it means to work together within the congregations and starting to understand what that means for us as a whole. But as I was reflecting, sharing a couple other things. I was going to show some pictures, but I realized group photos are really boring. A couple other things that really exciting that happened this year. We really started our first time trying to hold classes. So we beta tested running some classes in the summer. And there were about 30 people all together attending the three classes. People were really engaged. People really enjoyed them. The feedback was really positive. And we had one how to read the Bible, one on spiritual leadership, and one on apologetics. And those are things we're going to be revisiting in the coming year. Our Sunday school added another class, so there's actually another age group for Sunday school, which has been amazing to see and part of. On top of that, we actually hired two full-time staff alongside myself. So we have Ansi and James. We also have two people still continuing their studies. Ben is still in Bible college, and Christina is still doing her counseling course. I don't know if you know, actually, one of the guys in the Cantonese side who's become the English side, Abel, is also doing a counseling, which I have to tell you is super exciting because we're talking about someone who's Cantonese speaking, but is really feel to say, hey, can I provide counseling services to those in the Chinese side and also bring God into that? That's a big area that's missing across the UK. Our involvement with other churches this year has been really exciting. Aside from Doxa, which we put together for worship, we've had guys to help out at the youth conferences nationally, Fat Camp, also with Regen, which is the university group. This year, I made an effort to reconnect with a lot of churches around the UK. And I basically, okay, so basically the way it's been is for the past pretty much 10 years since I've really been working here, I have taken no outside speaking engagements. Okay, so they've always asked me, they're always, hey, Bert, can you come and speak? And just, no, I'm going to focus on our church here. I know you guys will have a good connection. But I've turned them all down, partially so we could start building stuff here. And we've kind of hit a momentum. So this past year, I said, okay, God, any speaking engagement that comes my way, I'm going to take it so that I can reconnect with all these churches. Little did I know everyone's going to ask me. So I spoke at the Easter Midlands English North England Easter Conference, their English ministries talk. I gave a talk in Manchester for their church retreat. I spoke in Dublin for their church retreat. I spoke in a church in London, LCAC's church retreat. I ended up speaking at our young adult conference, I-93. I think it was total like five or six conferences that I spoke at this year. Also preached in Nottingham and gave a workshop on tri-language congregations. And it's been really exciting because it's not about me being in those places, but it's about saying, hey, our church has an outward look. We want to see in the future, are there ways that we can partner together? We can bless you. You can bless us and we can start growing that. So this was also very exploratory. Next week, we're going to start talking about what that means for our church as a whole, some of our core areas, some of our real places of saying, this is how we want to exercise faith. And I want to talk about this now because I want you guys to start thinking, look, the Christian life is not static. It's not you just come to church and just receive. All of us are in different places. Some of us need to be rebuilt in these times, and that's great. You come to church, you find places of building up. Some of us are in a place where we need to be pushed out, but we're too scared. Some of us want to be pushed out, but we're unskilled, we're unqualified. So we're saying, okay, well, how can we start seeing what it is that God wants us to do? How can we build that up? And how can we really grow in faith? How can we really be God's people of faith? Because that's when things are exciting. That's when you really discover Christ as your Lord and Savior, as your guide, as your teacher, as your mentor, as opposed to just someone you listen to during the week in prayer or just maybe just someone on Sundays, but really living for him to really be his disciple. And as I was praying about that this week and thinking about next week's message and thinking about the year as a whole, and we sat down as a team and talked about our whole service and what we wanted to see in the next even 5-6 years, we sat down. I was really praying, saying, okay, God, well, where do we start? Where do we really begin? At the end of 2017, and it's been a rough year for a lot of people, but what does it mean for us to really start off with? And this is the passage that he led me to. Oh, it's gone. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 17. And I'll read this. Oh, it's back. I'll read this out. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 7. Oh, it wasn't gone. It was a black screen at the end of the video. Thanks. Ben's like, yes. Ben, you gave that disapproving look to me. Do you know, last week, there's a guy who said, oh, you're so stunning. Oh, you weren't here last week. You don't know what I'm talking about. Never mind. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 17. Let me read this out. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. It actually started with this part, but I wanted to put it in the context a little bit, in this letter that Peter's writing. And I thought about the end of the year, and I was thinking about the year ahead, and I said, actually, one of the greatest things that we desire is we want to get the most out of life. We want to enjoy. We want to face life well. And in this passage, you get this picture of what God is saying. This is what it means to follow him, and this is the joy that follows from that. If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to the prayers. For the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. For us, actually, I'm guessing most of us, we might have very busy lives. We don't get very much time to stop or to reflect or to reconsider what has happened over this past year. Maybe some of us actually do have more time, but we don't use it wisely and actually sitting down and thinking about it. The first step in the end of this year is actually to pause and to reflect. And I want to go back to the beginning of this verse. And as I read through this, I want us to be thinking, actually, God, the place I start with is a place of repentance, of confession. In other words, it's this idea of, look, I have accumulated so much dirt and muck on my life throughout this past year, and I need to wash it clean. I need to be clean. I need to get that off of me. If you have been using your your attitude or your mouth in wrong ways to tear people down instead of build them up. If instead of being full of compassion, you've been full of judgment and arrogance. Instead of being humble, you've been someone who's lorded over your employees or talked behind the back of some people, talking about how dumb they are compared to you. This is the time now, and it's not for me to say, sit here and judge you and say, you know, that's bad, but it's really saying, God, will you convict my heart in the ways and the places that I have gone wrong this year? Because that is not adding anything to my life, but is taking away the joy that you desire for me to have, what it means to really follow you. See, this was really convicting to me as I was reading through this. Even that first part where it says, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another. How easy it is for us to tear one another down, to let the divisiveness build walls between us, to be full of anger and hatred towards someone who trolls you online or leaves a mean comment that makes you so infuriated. And you carry that anger around with you and it just simmers, doesn't it? It just makes you so nauseated. And God is saying, actually, what you need to do is you need to stop. You need to let that go. And you need to say, actually, Jesus, what is it that you desire me to be like? And what are the things that I need to say sorry for and make right in you? Do not repay evil with evil or insult or with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Repaying evil with evil, sometimes you think, well, I didn't go and punch that person who made me mad, or I didn't do this. But we're not talking about just the physical. We're talking about the stuff in your heart, the bitterness, the fury that you feel towards someone, refusing to let that go. And it doesn't always just mean you make amends. It's rather saying, God, I am sorry because I am holding this sword of vengeance in my own heart. But actually, I need to surrender that to you. If my calling is to love and to bless and to encourage, then it is not my right nor my place to be the one that brings punishment or judgment into someone else's life just because I'm mad at them. Let's continue on and look at this part again. If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Again, it's how you use your mouth, maybe, the things you say. But I would expand on this a little bit. It's all the things you listen to, the lies you believe, whether about yourself, the things that you pass on that aren't true. It's really saying, actually, God, the way I've looked at life, the way I've focused, is not your way. The way I treat my spouse or my family, my coworkers or other students, the way I treat my brother and sister by blood or in the church. All of these things, God, I want to do it your way, not my way. See, the heart of this is actually God is saying, actually, I have this amazing plan for you. I have this amazing blessing for you. And the blessing that we're not talking about is the double fortune joy that comes with gold or money. But the blessing he's talking about is the things that really matter. Peace and patience and the power to persevere. Greater love, greater compassion. When things attack you, you don't feel down and depressed or hopeless, but rather the real blessing is the hope that you receive from Christ to last in every circumstance. The joy to be able to persevere in those places. Isn't that the most important blessings? Money and material things, those are going to pass away. But the blessing from God, those are these eternal things that teach you not just what it feels like good in the moment, but how to live and to even face the troubles that you might have. So it says, search for peace and work to maintain it. And I love that because sometimes we think when we get to peace, oh, it's just a perfect place and there's no disagreements ever. But there is this whole process. Search for peace and work to maintain it. There is joy in that. in working to maintain peace with one another. It's not just suffering that you have to try to be a peacemaker, but rather it is joyful and wonderful. So there is this love in saying, actually, I love that we are continuing to work to maintain the peace. The eyes of the Lord are watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. I don't know about you, but whenever I read those verses in the Bible, it makes me really nervous. I don't like reading about the Lord turning his face away from us, because I'll be honest, I like to imagine God as always loving and always embracing, and that is who he is. So when I read these verses, I get scared because I'm like, oh no, I don't want to do evil and he'll turn his face away from me. But there's a truth here, which is saying actually God desires holiness so much. In fact, Christ died on the cross so that we would be presented holy. It is something precious and is something worth keeping and worth fighting for. Too often, we just rely on the grace of Christ, and that is wonderful because he is constantly gracious. But actually, we also have to be very hungry for holiness, that there is an amazing joy in living a life that is holy and presentable before God. In other words, we need to be active in turning away from sin instead of just stumbling into it and then saying, God, be gracious again. And yes, God will be gracious again, and his mercies are new every morning, and it does not cease. But we also don't want to take advantage of that grace and let it be cheap. At the end of this year, it is our time to stop and say, actually, God, show me. Show me the places that I've gone wrong, where I have soiled your holiness with my unrighteousness. And it's that place where you begin to repent and turn back to him and say, actually, yes, wash me clean. Sometimes we come across people who are going through the same kind of patterns in life. You work with them, they seem like they're making progress, then they fall into the same sin, and they go backwards again, and they're stuck in that same kind of pit. And then you talk with them, you pray with them, and they move forward again, then they go back to that same problem. And it's difficult because we keep working with them, we keep saying, come on, you got to fight through this. And we know that God is greater than this. We know that God wants to set them free from that. But because their desire for that sin is so great, they keep going back to it. In Proverbs, there's a verse for that, actually. It's a horrible one. It's like a dog that returns to his vomit is a man who continues to in his sin. It's that same kind of perspective where you are caught in this vicious cycle. What we're saying is actually God did not die on the cross for you to be stuck in this cycle, but rather he wants you to be free from that. So choose holiness. Choose righteousness. Choose to make peace. Turn away from evil. These are active verbs. We have to actively turn away from what is wrong and choose Christ instead. See the preceding verse to the Lord turning his face. Is, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. Instead of being afraid of God's judgment, he's actually saying, you know, God is so eager to lead you and to guide you and to fill you with all his blessings. So pursue that righteousness. Don't settle for second best or third best. It's not even comparable. It is hard, I won't disagree with you, to turn away from sin, to walk in righteousness. But the starting point, that beginning point is actually just confession. It's just repenting and saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way it's gone. I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for my hurt, my attitude, the way I've mistreated people. Please forgive me. In our message today, we're just going to move with this. The first is there'll be a time to just reflect. And it's reflecting over the year. But when I saw reflect, you're actually praying. You're actually asking God. You're asking God, God, will you bring to mind the times where, you know, I've insulted or repaid evil for evil, or the lies that you've told, or when you've used your mouth to curse or tear down people or humiliate, for all those areas that you've gone wrong. And it's just letting God bring those to you. And as you remember them, just say, God, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry for the way I treat my mother-in-law or my father-in-law or my mother or my father. I'm sorry for the attitude that I bring, this kind of false bravado or arrogance that I carry and I treat people with. I'm sorry for the times I've shouted at people just because I've had a bad day. It's really saying, God, because actually I don't want to keep being that person. I don't think you want me to keep being that person either, God. So in 2018, I want to be different. Let me end this year well so that I can start next year great. After that time of kind of reflecting and asking God to bring them, just repent. By that, just say sorry. Just apologize. If there's someone you need to send a text to, or you feel like, actually, I should just text this person and say I'm sorry, then you do that. In fact, I've had to do that multiple times in my life where I have gone back and I've found someone that I've hurt many years ago. You know, I was just a teenager. And I'll go back to the States and I'll find them and say, hey, I know this is a long time ago. It's been about 10 years, but I'm sorry for what happened. And I'm sorry for the way I treated you and my attitude. And I'll be like, oh, I totally forgot about that. But thank you for apologizing. And I said, yeah, it's what God put on my heart. I can't keep acting this way and not say I'm sorry sometimes. So your act of repentance may require you to send a message to someone, not expecting one in response, not expecting I'm sorry too, but just to give it up. It'll definitely require you to pray and say, God, I'm sorry. Can you renew it again? Can you change me? But the third thing is really just to recommit. And it's funny because we sometimes talk about recommitting to God as saying, you know, this is your fresh start. And the older you get, the more cynical you are about it because you've probably recommitted in the past but then found that your life has just continued to go down and not be up and down. But actually, if you remember carefully, if any time you've recommitted, there is a singular moment when you are like, yes, actually, I need to commit my life to you again, Christ. To be your disciple, to be your child, and say, yes, it starts again. And the way these verses kind of unfold is this picture of recommitting is asking God to fill your heart with his desires. God, will you make my heart eager to pursue peace, eager to bless those who curse us, to be one of one heart and mind with my brothers and sisters in church, to be compassionate and humble. God, I want this. And I want you to burn that in my heart. When I recommit to you, it's not just saying goodbye to the past, but saying yes to all these things. I keep thinking of those Egyptian Coptic Christians. And again, there was another terrorist attack, murder among the Egyptians this past week. But I remember how bold they were to continue to profess Christ and love their enemies, even in the face of death. And I think to myself, wow, I get so angry at a car that cuts me off at the Chinatown roundabout that I can still use an example 2 months later. Like, my bitterness is so great. And their love, you know, those Egyptian Christians, their love for God is so immense. Their love for enemies is so immense. And when I see that gap, it's not the Singaporean in me that makes me gyasu and says, well, I'm going to be as good as them. But rather, there's this desire to say, actually, I am not as great as I think I am. But God, I want more of you, more of your love. There is still so much more love and compassion and goodness and grace that I need to know how to exhibit. What it means to actually lead or to follow or to love or to bless. What it means to be a husband, what it means to be a father. For all of us, it is that same journey. So as we're going to just take a pause and just to be still, and this is your time to reflect, then to repent, to say sorry, and then finally to recommit. And I want to end with this last verse when we look into a new year from Lamentations chapter 3, 22-23, which is, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning." We don't repent and confess because we think somehow that's going to earn God's love back. He's not a Chinese parent. He is eternally going to love us. There is no end to that. More than that, his mercies are still new and fresh every morning. He has not forgotten you. He has not ceased forgiving you or being gracious to you. The pursuit of holiness is not for his benefit. It is for our benefit in our life here to be more effective as his believers to the world around us. Do you understand? It's not that he needs us to do this or his conditional love is somehow on that way. No, he is unconditional. But he's saying, you know what? I have created you, and the best way to get your life, the best way forward, is to follow my commands. It's to turn away from that old way and move forward in his way. So let's pause. I'm going to invite you just to bow your heads and to close your eyes. And just start using this time to ask God, God, what has this year, this past year, where have I gone wrong? Holy Spirit, we ask you to move your spirit of conviction in our hearts for the places that we've gone wrong, in our attitudes, in our heart, in our mindset, in the way we treat one another. Lord, will your spirit remind us, not so that we feel guilty, but so that we will confess and repent. We come to you, Lord. Let me read this passage out again. "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil." Lord, just lead us. Just continue to use this time just to pray and to repent. Lord Jesus, will you forgive us? You say if we confess our sins to you, you are faithful and just and will forgive us from all unrighteousness. We know that you are gracious, compassionate, and a merciful God. And you are still God Almighty. The awesome Lord above all other kings of this world or powers in this world. And who are we that we should call you Lord, that we should call you friend? So forgive us for our pride, for our arrogance, for our selfishness, for the way we use things for our own good and disregard the needs of others, for the anger that we carry or the bitterness. Will you set us free from those things? for the hurt that we might have received or the hurt that we have caused to those we care about, our grandparents or our parents or our spouse or even our children. Will you forgive us? Forgive us for the times that we have gossiped or torn down a friend behind their back, that we have acted in arrogance towards them, that we have judged them, whether it's our friend or our colleague or fellow student. Forgive us for the times that we have looked upon people of a different race or a different color and have thought less of them without even knowing who they are. God, we are such a messed up people, undeserving of your grace. You, whose love is perfect and compassionate and extends to all people and all nations in all shapes and sizes with any sort of disability or frustrations or illness, you are the God of them. And we think somehow we are more deserving of your love than someone else. Fools, we're fools. So God, we are sorry. And as we confess and repent, will you turn that around? Will you change our hearts? Will you fill it with your desires? People who pursue peace, who pursue righteousness, who eagerly bless those who curse us, to be of one heart and mind with our brothers and sisters, to be full of compassion and humility, to not think that we are so much greater, that we are eager to work to maintain the peace that you have given through Christ, that we are eager to do right, to fight for those who are voiceless or are lost, to speak out against injustice, to give willingly and joyfully. Change us, Lord, because we need you and we desire to be like you, to truly understand what it means when you say that if we want to enjoy life and see many happy days, to understand what that enjoyment is and what that happiness looks like, Lord. So we recommit our lives to you today, Lord. And we do this the old-fashioned way. Lord, if today at this moment we feel that we want to recommit our lives to you and say goodbye to the old year and hello to the new year, Lord, we want to just raise our hand right now as our moment of commitment to say that, God, I recommit to you. I pledge my allegiance to you, King, Lord, and Savior. Just raise your hand now as your sign of worship, as your sign of dedication, of commitment, of pledging yourself to him. And Lord Jesus, will you look down upon the raised hands and your spirit remind them that they are citizens of heaven and they belong to you. Will you anoint them with your spirit and give them a new year, a new life, to let their adventure continue. We thank you. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. So Lord, will you build our lives? In your name we pray. Just continue to keep this spirit of worship, of repentance, of recommitment, as we just continue to worship. And as that happens, if you feel like you just want someone to pray with you, you can just grab someone next to you. If there's something in particular in your life that you really need to break forward and you need to get out of, you'll really ask someone just to pray with you. And say, let's start this today. If you want to stand, feel free to stand. If you want to stay seated, you can do that. If you want to move to the back or to the sides and just have some space to kneel and pray, use that time now. Let's come and worship.